If you love tossing dice, making notes on your character sheet, and you may or may not have tried to bribe your game master, maybe this is a podcast for you. You're listening to Sounds Like Roll, an RPG podcast. And now, let's begin. Yes, let's begin with this. This is the thirteenth episode of this podcast, Sounds Like Roll. My name is Dredd, and this is almost the last episode. The next episode will be like the last of this season. So yeah, we're getting to the end of this first season about what is RPGs and the different aspects of them. And in this episode that you're listening right now, I will be talking about how to be a GM, or where you can start, or what are the things that you have to take into consideration when you are thinking about being a GM, a game master, a director, a DM, dungeon master, or however you want to call it. The one that directs, that manages, or the, how do I say it? The one that creates the story and helps the player have a good time, although the GM is also a player. Well, this episode is created for people that want to be a GM for the first time, or maybe this is their first time playing RPGs even, or even if you are already a GM and you want to have some more insights about it. So I hope you enjoy what I prepared for you today. And yes, first of all, I would like to congratulate you. Yes, because usually very few people want to be a GM. Many people think that being a GM is too much hard work, or that it is not as fun as being a player. But that couldn't be actually farther from the truth. And you probably already know that. Or at least you suspect it. That's why you want to be one of them, right? Of us, of them. Yeah, I'm more of a player than a GM, but I'm also a GM. So let me start with something that one usually don't think too much about it. Because, look, pay attention to this. If you have already played some tabletop role-playing games as a player, you probably already know how fun it is to control a character and develop it session after session. I mean, almost every game allows you to choose among different, very, very different types of characters. Each one of them with different characteristics and abilities or capabilities and whatever. And also you can let your imagination like run wild and invent some kind of backstory for it, giving him or her more life. And to play with it during the game allows you to see how it becomes more and more important during your campaign, the character, right? Well, if you had played enough, at some point you start to notice something. When you play one game for some time, you start to notice the fun parts of each type of character the game offers to the players. I mean, as a player, if you're playing, let's say, Dungeons and Dragons, you could be playing with, a warrior, and you start thinking that playing a rogue could be lots of fun also, watching other players, right? Or maybe you've been playing, werewolf with a character born as a wolf that lives in the countryside or something like that. But you start thinking that playing a glass walker, for example, in a small apartment downtown could be interesting too. And what I'm trying to say is that many players feel those thoughts or have those thoughts. And usually they create new characters once in a while to play in other groups with these new characters. Or maybe they switch game masters from time to time with different games from the same RPG even, only to get the opportunity to create and use different characters. Well, guess what? When you play as a GM, you usually create several characters. And yes, I know that many times you can just improvise them on the go as you play, I mean, as a GM, but many of them are actually created as any other character. Even some GMs fill a whole character sheet for the NPCs, the non-playable characters, the characters that the game master controls. And even more, you have to create compelling characters with unique personalities and I don't know, interesting capabilities. And that is one of the most fun parts of preparing each game, even. And actually, interpreting them during the game is also very fun, because you get to act as a player too, and can change from character to character every time you want, right? So in general, there is some parts of being a GM that are very fun, and at times, I would say that sometimes more fun than being a player. Even, I mean, your game master will not tell you that, but it's true. Because let's be honest here. Many people enjoy being a GM because they enjoy the hard work. I mean, hard work that the game has to do, like preparing the story, create different NPCs, keeping track of everything that is happening during the game, what else, I don't know, take care of the players so everyone can have the spotlight and have, I don't know, fun moment, etc. But many times, the fun parts, without hard work, are subtle or pass unnoticed. Allow me to elaborate on that. Okay, another example. Watching how the players create the other half of this of your story and how the story unwraps in front of you is something that you can't even start to describe how awesome it is. And I mean, this is what I mean. When you direct a game, when you are a storyteller, dungeon master, or however you want to call your role in the game, the GM, as I'm mentioning it, you prepare a story, right? But that story is only half-baked. You let several loose ends and open roads in it, and you only let the antagonist or other NPCs start putting their ideas to work. I mean, you create an initial plot line with some different alternatives in front of you, but the players are the ones that really guide the story, and many, if not all times, the final plot lines of the story are only kind of close to the ones that you planned. For example, you plan a story about a bunch of spies that, because of reasons, have to take down a military compound, right? So they investigate it first, and as you have planned, they find out that the military facility have some vulnerabilities in some part of the perimeter, and there are even some, I don't know, let's see, underground tunnels without cameras or something like that. Well, in an imaginary world where players always do what you plan for them, they would go to that part of the perimeter, enter the tunnels, and that's it. And actually, that would be very boring from the point of view of you as a GM. And actually, that would be very boring from the point of view of you as a GM. I mean, fortunately, how do you pronounce that? Fortunately, the world doesn't work that way. Well, I mean, what normally happens is that the players come out with ideas like, for example, they could say, okay, let's shove some napalm down those tunnels and make an airstrike with parachutes and bazookas and something like that. And yes, seeing how that works, that works out is very fun. If you direct your ideas like that, giving the players the freedom they subconsciously want, you get those, you get to see those things. And actually, that's something players and GM experience in the same way. It's not only something that only the GM does. Because making some decisions or starting some actions and see what happens is something that the players and also the GM do. As a GM, you also get the excitement of seeing how the story unfolds itself, to say it in some way. And you also get confronted with challenges that you have to work out and see how it ends up. Just like any other player. The only difference is that you're playing with many characters, because your players, I mean the other players, are creating the other half of the story. So yes, being a GM has a lot of very fun areas that many times go unnoticed, but that make the experience very interesting. What I'm doing right now is just putting names on those parts of the job of the GM. But as, when you are a GM, you experience those things. You just think, oh, this is fun. I don't know why, but this is fun. So I'm just mentioning them, those things. But there's more to it. I mean, in a, let's say, heroic perspective, you see, back then, and I think still now, although I have my doubts, there are usually some kind of GM's shortage. Like, usually there are many times there are more players than GMs. And I mean, yes, obviously a game table there are only one GM and several players, but still, when you're trying to find a GM, you'll notice that they are kind of scarce. And as I say, I have the hunch that maybe in this new, era, or RPGs, there are more people now interested in becoming a GM. And that's always good news. So that's why I was congratulating you. I don't know. Because even more, when in an RPG group, there are more than one GM, you get to vary from game to game every once in a while, and that's super fun. And what's even better is when at least one of them likes to try different games, so you have probably the main game of the group, and from now and then you get to try different games, and that's, at least for me, the best case scenario. So yes, the more GMs out there, I would say the better. Now, let's get to the more serious part. Because you are probably thinking, okay, but what should I do? What should I do? Where do I start? Or even what else I can do? So let's get through some recommendations I have for you. And also remember that in a previous episode of this podcast, I've been talking about how to be a good GM. Like a series of recommendations to improve your labor as a GM. But this time, I want to comment a little bit about things that could be good to consider about it, okay? Okay, so first of all, I would like to suggest you to pay attention to which game you're going to propose to your group. I think that I already talked about it in a previous episode, but anyway. When you start a new game, you have to have some kind of agreement with your group. I think it's too risky to just come out and say, like, hi everyone, so we're going to play this game. Just like that, out of the blue. Because two bad things could happen. Bad things. First of all, if it's absolutely possible that your group don't like that game. And if they don't, you're going to be in a position where all of your preparation work is wasted. And you have no game prepared now. And the second thing that could happen is that one or more of your players are not really interested in that game. But maybe they are just too polite or even have good intentions to try to move the game forward. But actually, they may end up not enjoying it too much. And without understanding why, you will find yourself with a game group that, for some reason, doesn't feel very motivated with your game, see? So, before buying or borrowing a game manual or core rulebook, talk to your group first. Give them options. Try to be sure that everyone is in the same page, so your efforts are well spent in your game preparation, and you don't get to those bad scenarios, right? Now, how to know what game to choose? Or what you should look for when selecting a game to start a campaign? Well, I would mention these, I don't know, three or four things. First of all, setting. This is in which fictional world the game takes place. Is it a medieval fantasy game, or is it a modern urban horror game, or is it a sci-fi game, space opera type game? Or is it a crime investigation placed in the 50s kind of game? And this is the most obvious part to consider when choosing a game. But many people love geek stuff, but have different tastes. For example, someone could be a hardcore Lord of the Rings fan, but that absolutely hates sci-fi. Or maybe there is a sci-fi fan that also loves medieval fantasy, but hates investigation games, and so on. So try to keep close attention to what your group would like to play regarding that, okay? I think that's very important. And what else? Well, what the game is about. This is something I mentioned in the episode titled The Human Differences Between RPGs, remember? So I'll mention it very briefly here to not repeat all the episode again. This is about what is the usual scenario that the players are into. Like, is it a game about chasing bad guys and maintaining order? Or is it a game about epic adventures with a lot of challenges and heroic characters? Or is it a more realistic game in regards of character capabilities? Or is it maybe more of a social intrigue game? Because each game has more focus on one of those types of things rather than the other. So regardless that you can change that a little, every game is still more inclined to one style of playing. So you should also try to choose a game that goes along with the personality of your group as a whole. And now, going more into the rules arena, let's talk about rule systems. Each game has a different set of rules, and yeah, you know that. But this is not too much about what type of dice you like to use, because every game most likely has a rule system that is good fit for its style of game. Like what I said just before. So it's not like you can change the rule system, for example, from game to game. And it's not like it doesn't matter then either, because there's something that happens that not many people notice, and it's that each rule system has a different feeling. You see, when you're playing, you toss dice several times each session. Obviously, it differs from game to game, like in I don't know, D&D, Dungeons & Dragons, you roll a lot of dice in one session, while in Vampire the Masquerade, the 5th edition, you only roll some dimes every now and then, for example. But okay, this is not about how many times you actually use the rule system of the game, but rather about how do you use it. From how each dice roll is solved to which dice you use and how it feels to use them. It sounds weird, but it makes sense. Just try to follow me. First, the system itself gives a different feeling in regards of a balance between emotion or excitement and frustration. For example, for my taste, the dice rolls in Call of Cthulhu are very frustrating because you don't have a lot of points to use, and most of them are related to investigating or dialoguing with people, so the game is made in a way so you feel that the problems you face are hard. For example, you may have just, I don't know, 30% chance to find something in a library or in a book. Like, literally, because the dice rolls in that game are made with percentage dice. And for that game, maybe it makes sense, because you're supposed to be in a very frustrating and frightening situation. But in other games, let's say, for example, in classic World of Darkness games, or as now we call them, old World of Darkness games, the dice rolls were usually easy, just varying like how well the action was performed. So the game is not frustrating at all. Or example, in Dungeons & Dragons, you usually roll a d20, a 20-sided die, and add some modifiers and try to get to a specific number. In that case, and now talking about emotion or excitement, it's very exciting because you know in a blink if you succeeded or not, just looking at the number. You don't have to count successes in different dice or anything. And also, you are mostly fighting, so even more excitement. So yes, each game system gives the player a different feeling. So you have to take that into consideration too, okay? And also, and this is a personal thing, I always pay attention to what dice the rule system use. Maybe this doesn't seem important to you, but I don't know, I would like to share it anyway. You see, it's not the same grabbing several D10 dice and start counting successes than selecting different sided dice and just looking at the numbers. Some people love to collect dice, for example, and maybe the D20 system is more appealing because you use several different dice during the game. Or in the rule system based on percentage dice, for example, You just roll the same two dice the whole game. So if you're like me and you also put some attention on the specific like physical action of grabbing some dice and rolling them on the table, well, maybe this have some importance. At least for me, I don't know for you. Just you tell me. Well, finally, and this is super important, trust me, always pay attention to the type of stories you can make with the game you're thinking of. Many times, you find a super interesting game with an incredible fun setting, but you could end up without knowing what to prepare. Some people are good, for example, for creating super epic medieval stories, but not in creating modern mysteries. Or some people maybe are good in creating exciting sci-fi urban action stories, but can't think of even a simple dungeon for a medieval fantasy game. So please do this. When you're considering a game to study and start a game for it, first of all, try to think a couple of stories to see if it is easy for you to create something for that setting. And I'm not saying like write a 5-page story, but rather just like spend, I don't know, 20 minutes brainstorming in your mind different ideas that could be turned into stories for an RPG session. And you will know if you can then even improvise scenarios for the players. So that's something very important. This, I would say, is something that many GMs forget and end up having to play only with pre-written stories, modules. How do you pronounce it? Modules. I don't know. And that's not a bad thing, actually. But sometimes people spend money and time buying and learning about a game just to find out after all of that effort, when they grab a pen and try to think of a story, they go blank and find that probably they would like just to actually play the game rather than just than being the GM. And that could be very frustrating. And actually, this happens to me once with In Nomine Satanis Magna Veritas. I saw that game. I said, oh my god, this setting is awesome. I grabbed a copy of the manual, the rules book, read it, and then bam, I couldn't think of a single scene for the players. And this is not that maybe you're not good creating stories in general, but sometimes people are good in creating some kind of stories, but not so good ones in other type of stories. And actually, in that time, I end up without creating any game for that, in any game session for that game. So that's a shame. But anyway, so pay attention to that and you'll save yourself a terrible headache. Trust me. Now, always remember at what I said at the beginning. Never forget why are you becoming a GM? Because being a game master is lots of fun. And even more important than that, it's actually more easier than you think. And I'll be honest with you here. There are two moments of being a GM that are actually hard work. First of all, learning the rules of a game for the first time. This can be some hard work, but it's actually kind of fun. And actually, every modern rule system is very logical and easy to follow. So, and remember that you don't have to memorize everything in the manual, just the more important parts, and you will get more skilled at the rest from session to session. And if you do want to become an expert on a system right away, even before starting, I would suggest you to take a look of a video of Seth Skorkowski in YouTube regarding how to learn a system. The video is called How to Learn a New RPG System Running RPGs. He gives a very good methodology on how to learn a whole system on some easy-to-follow steps, so check that out. And second of all, the second thing that it's actually kind of hard is creating the story. But not because you need to write a lot of stuff, because you can also write it in a short way and just follow some guidelines. But actually coming up with the idea, trying to think of possible plot lines that are fun to the players and putting different appealing and coherent NPCs requires some time to create. Some creative effort. But those things are just at the beginning, because once the game have started and the players start to make decisions and drive part of the story, they're actually helping you to continue it in a way more easy way. And the game system, after the rule system, after a couple of sessions, will feel natural and even intuitive to you. So don't get too much stressed about that. Chill out. But anyway, give me some motivation here. Actually, there's something you can do to have a more easy and fun experience with a new game, even if this is the first time you ever play an RPG, okay? So, first, talk to your group. Never pretend that you are an expert of a game. Actually, even if you are an expert, because RPGs tend to have many rules, and it's absolutely normal to forget one or another from time to time. So, if you're just starting, tell to your group that this is your first time in an RPG as a player, or first time with a particular game, and point at them that maybe you could forget some rules every now and then. Ask them to like bear with you. Tell them that even if you make a mistake with a rule, it's not intentional. That is part of the game, and that you're gonna always prioritize the flow of the game, even if you have to make up a rule or ignore one, and that between sessions, you will try to check those things and correct them session by session, so nobody gets annoyed if a wrongly applied rule is bad for his or her character, because they will know that it's not with a bad intention. They will know that it's something completely normal and that you all as a group are learning this new game, so it's part of the process. And remember them that you are constantly thinking of giving them a good experience so that they can trust you, even if something looks bad for a character. That will help you a lot. We'll put the group in a nice and cooperative mood and will make you feel way more confident and relaxed, okay? And by the way, some people say that you totally have to play some RPG before becoming a GM. And part of that is true. I mean, you have to be a player at some point to see how it feels, and then becoming a way better GM knowing that. But you can totally start as a GM. Don't worry about it. Obviously, try to play as soon as you can so you can know how's the other side of the table. But you can start like that. I even would say that as a player, it's equally recommendable to GM to be a game master at some point, because that also teaches you a lot of stuff to be a better player and have more fun at the game. And now, as you see, being a game master requires some hard work, at least at the beginning. But as soon as you start playing, playing as a GM, because the GM is technically a player too, you will see that it's easy and fun. You have to pay attention to a lot of things at the same time, it is true, but the players too. Each player have to remember tons of information about the story and have to solve many problems. But the good thing is that stuff is fun. RPGs, the tabletop role-playing games, make some tasks as keeping track of things or solving problems, fun to do. That, I would think, is one of the keys that makes people feel that RPGs are so particularly fun to play. No wonder why people tend to play like three, four, or five or more hours without stopping. Because nothing stops you to pause the game after the first 20 minutes, because you could totally do it. But for some reason, nobody does that. For some reason, people love to play for hours straight. And that's because the game dynamic of RPGs connects with how people think and socialize and makes it feel like an extremely fun-to-play game. So, before ending this episode, because this is a more short episode than the others, because this episode was more about giving some tips, not that much about thinking about stuff. If you're not sure what game to start to become a GM, I will tell you two sides of the story. Not two sides of the story, two alternatives. Because I would say that these two games are the, more than being the most mainstream ones, are two very particular games that you can put them in different opposite ends of a spectrum, One is Dungeons and Dragons, and the other is World of Darkness, or Vampire the Masquerade. Dungeons and Dragons is a game very rules-based, like you have to be using the rules all the time. It's a lot of combat, it's a lot of leveling up your characters, gaining more skills. It's like a video game RPG. Actually, video games RPGs are based on tabletop role-playing games, so it's almost the same. And Vampire, The Masquerade, or all, every other World of Darkness game are in the other opposite. They are more focused on the storytelling, or about telling a story, developing a character regarding how the character talks and what decisions they make. And actually, there are now there's a system called Powered by the Apocalypse that is more far away in the spectrum. It's totally about storytelling, but I want to mention World of Darkness because it's more widespread, so maybe you can find more information about it more easily. But the games based on the Powered by the Apocalypse game system are more even more focused on the story itself rather than combat and stuff like that. Regardless of the name. And so I will give you a short description in how is to be a game master of each one of those, so you can have a more clearer image of how it is. In Dungeons and Dragons, you prepare like epic stories, but your main job as a game master is to create like very fun scenarios of battles and combats, and allowing your characters to use their powers or the capabilities and stuff. It's very like a video game RPG, actually. But Vampire, or World of Darkness in the other side, is more about the social interactions of the characters, about politics, about intrigue, about the dialogues between the players or the players and the NPCs, more of those stuff. But, I mean, the game do have a lot of special powers and rules, but you use them very, very few times during a game session. So I would say that in Dungeons & Dragons, you have to learn more rules. In the 5th edition, the rules are very logical and easy to follow and easy to learn, but you have to learn them. And in World of Darkness, the 5th edition, the current version of those games, the rules are very easy. Are just like 2 or 3 types of dice rolls, and that's all. Every single rule in the game is a different application of the same. So regarding rule system, is more easy, but regarding the story you create, it's more difficult, okay? So there you have like 2 sides of the spectrum that are 2 type of games that you can become a GM about, okay? So to end up this episode, go out there and GM like a boss, please. And if you have the free experience as a GM after hearing this episode, that will be awesome. Tell me in wherever you want, in Facebook, Instagram, wherever, how it was your experience. That would be very awesome. And I would mention that in the next episode or some other episode. That would be very interesting. We're in the end of this episode. I hope that you find all of this information at least useful or even fun to listen. That's the final goal of it. So before going, remember to subscribe to any platform. You can listen to this podcast in the website, but you will find it's more easy and more practical to use something like Spotify or iTunes or Play FM. And also now we have iHeartRadio too, or you even could leave some comments in Podchaser. In Podchaser, you can put like stars in a podcast and tell to other people how the podcast is. So if you like this podcast, leave a comment there. If you didn't like it, don't leave a comment. Okay, but I'm just kidding. If the one that you use is not in the list in soundslikeroll.com, just tell me. Send me an email, a message, and I will try to add the podcast there, okay? And remember to follow the show in Sounds Like Roll in Facebook or me in Instagram as Roll4Dread or in Twitter as Dreadstein, or you can join the Telegram group. In Telegram, find at Sounds Like Roll Chat, and there we are. And also, if you really, really, really like this podcast and you want to help me improve it, you can find also the podcast in Patreon and as Sounds Like Roll. And in the next episode, I will talk about how to introduce new players to your table, how to convince other people to start playing, and how to make for them a nice first experience, because they're not now, but before there were a lot of people that played for the first time and didn't like the experience because the GM were not so polite, okay? And also, that will be the last episode of this season. Although the next season will change only about the type of topics I will touch, because I think it's too soon to think about renewing the image or the website or anything. So I will just change the subject, okay? Yeah, the next episode I will introduce, and also the next episode I will announce what will be about that new season, okay? So stay tuned. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed this episode. This is Dread speaking to you, and you've been listening to Sounds Like Roll, an RPG podcast. Until next time, bye bye.